Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for Dungeon Masters to work out their minds. I am one of your hosts, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Moniak.
And it's me, your other host, Celeste, a.k.a. DM Seawitch.
Before you always say a.k.a. Seawitch, you've never added DM Seawitch.
What?
No,
I have. I totally have.
Okay, you don't.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I have no idea. Now I'm questioning everything. Oh my God. Stressful.
Okay, while you figure that out, we will jump into whatever we're doing. But
we're doing it. We're jumping
yes. in. Today we were inspired by the episode 205 from Dungeon Master's Block entitled Console to Campaign Zelda Ocarina of Time. And woo. Celeste, what was the name of this exercise that
Oh, you're going to make me do it. Okay, good. So this exercise was called Ocarina of Time After Time.
Yes. My go-to karaoke song and just your favorite title of any.
What I really like is that people who know the song Time After Time and the video game Ocarina of Time are probably in a different age bracket than most of our younger viewers.
Yes. So, I do realize, some of the references, all of it is lost.
All of it. But it's funny for us.
So we should probably explain.
But it's funny for us.
Yes, we'll explain the exercise. Imagine, if you will, that you were playing a Zelda game and you thought to yourself, you know what? I can trip up my players. Why don't I take something from a game that I absolutely love and try and either reflavor those or just wholesale rewrite a monster out of that game and put it in there? Because there are one of two options out of this exercise. Is one, you hit that nostalgia for one of your players, or two, you trip the other ones up because they have literally no idea what's in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is, I will say, one of my favorite strategies for making monsters of all times. Just like taking monsters from video games I'm playing and making them D&D monsters.
Yeah, because, we can certainly get off into the weeds of the idea of how much D&D shaped what video games became. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, the long term of that sharing just going back and forth, because video games then shape what role playing games become. But the idea, like, there needs to be like that boss monster or that monster has something that makes it unique, that makes it iconic, that makes it rather than just a bag of hit points. Mm-hmm. So yeah, steal from video games. Yep. If anything, every DM should be a pirate. Just pillage and steal where you want and make the game that works for you. So I added a bunch of pictures basically from the Legend of Zelda wiki, and we had people grab those and make them into monsters that you could use at your table. Celeste, which one stuck out the most to you?
Yeah, so I mean, we had a few on here that were really, really great, but I think I'm very glad that Newton, who I don't know, only 4 posts. So welcome, Newton. Thank you for posting. But they took on the Re-Dead, which I just want to talk about because, God, these scared me so much when I played through this game. So Re-Deads are basically like these horrible, emaciated, zombie-like creatures that basically they scream. And when you scream, you know, Link gets frozen in terror, literally. And they come and then they jump on your head and like eat your brains. And that's terrifying. So I was very glad that somebody, you know, took on the Re-Dead. And what I really liked about this is that they went ahead and they're like, okay, they took the zombie stat block, they took the ghoul stat block from, you know, 5th edition and kind of put them together. Mm-hmm. And then gave them these, you know, stunning abilities from the Re-Dead. So I thought it was just a really clever way to make a monster, you know, pull from a bunch of existing stuff and then reflavor it to be like the Re-Dead monster. So obviously, you know, for actions, we've got a stunning scream, which makes a lot of sense. So constitution saving throw or be stunned. We've got, of course, that horrible bite attack. And, you know, this is nodding to the ghoul there. If this thing bites you, you become paralyzed. So it's pretty low CR. So, you know, maybe one isn't dangerous, but I imagine if there were a bunch of these things like swarming you, this would be a really bad time. So congrats, Newton, for making something horrifying.
Yeah, and I honestly hadn't thought about it until you started describing it, but how well Ocarina of Time manages to do that horror element by basically some lighting features, some sound effects.
Yeah.
And of course, not being able to move your character is just absolutely mortifying.
It's just so frightening. And they always put them in the game in like dark corners, ugh, you know, kind of facing away from you. So they're just these like tall, towering figures. Many times.
Yeah.
I was younger when I played Ocarina of Time for the first time. So like that, so definite nightmare fuel.
Well, it also makes me think like how fun it is to add those extra ones, because once the first one kicks off and makes that scream, what else, who else knows? Oh, yeah. Like the other,
all the other ones that,
the other monsters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
So yes, definitely. Well done, Newton. And thank you for posting and joining us here on the forums.
Yeah. And Neil, which one did you take on?
Is it a total cop out if I just use my own?
Well, we're going to have to design our own in a minute here. So maybe.
Okay, fine. So
we can talk about both. We can talk about both.
Okay, so mine is definitely Letter Lost then by choosing one. The Dodongo is probably one of the more iconic bosses that I remember. Like, for some reason, I still have like this visceral memory of like watching the trailer and that being the boss demonstration of him like running away, turning around, and you throw the bomb into the Dodongo's mouth to stun it and run up and you stab it. So I think really for me, it's just like the nostalgia hit of that one. I'm like, this could be the worst thing. It's not. It's Letter Lost. We both know it's not the worst thing, but it could be. And I'd be like, I still love it. I want every part. but I also like kind of Letter Lost taking the initiative to not just show, but also to tell. Like, so for homebrewing, I tried to start with a crocodile and then look at the red dragon wormling. I forgot what it had said. The red dragon wormling was no good, but the fire snake salamander was almost perfect and a breath weapon from the dragonborn. So then there's kind of your structure. And it's, again, it's finding those things that make it iconic, pulling from here, pulling from there, and then presenting that to your players, because visually they're not going to have a frame of reference. And now how would a player also know that you took a dragonborn's breath weapon?
Yeah.
Like that's,
it's perfect.
So good.
That's the way to do it.
And so, so definitely head to the forums and check out these, because a lot of these are statted out to just drop into fifth edition. And they don't need to be perfect. They just need to work. And these definitely do. But that means you and I get to lift the mental weights right now.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
Okay. So I'm looking at...
I've already established that I did one. Let's talk about the one I did really quick. So what I did is I took the Moblin, which is this weird, like...
sort of pig-headed, hog-headed goblins?
Dog-headed. And in the game, they are very big. So I basically gave step-by-step directions of apparently what I would do. Step one, take the bugbear stats. Step two, scrub off the Morningstar and surprise attack. Mm-hmm. Step three, leave brute and add in charge from their Ocarina of Time forms. Yep. And then step four, think about how I would add the change in flavor. They're pretty loud in Ocarina of Time. So in that game specifically, they're almost have this pseudo Minotaur vibe where like you come around a corner in a maze and this giant thing just tries to run you down with a spear.
Yeah.
So that is my go-to method.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's all great. I really like adding charge in. So taking charge from the boar beast stat block and adding that in, that makes a lot of sense. Also for that terrifying around the count, the corner feeling, I think that's perfect. Heck yeah. I think that's a great reskin.
Yeah. And the idea was to remove the surprise attack. Like that doesn't start to make any sense because that's the bugbear thing. So like, that's that like kind of iconic piece. And there is no surprise attack with this thing. It's literally making a lot of noise and trying to run you down. Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. So we've got that out of the way. Is there one that stands out that you would want to make?
So I wanted to look and see, what didn't we get to in the forums? We had a Deku Baba. We had a Dodongo. Did we? Somebody did the floor master too, right? Yeah, yeah. Onesie night. DM onesie night. I know we highlight a lot of your posts, so that's why I didn't highlight your post this time. But I loved your floor master.
Yep.
And let's see. So we didn't do the Tektite. I've never known how to say that. In my head, I always say Takiki, which is not how it's spelled. The jumpy boys spiders. Mm-hmm. And then did we do Skulltula? That's a good one too. Two spiders.
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, so Skulltula, the Iron Knuckle, and the Tektite are definitely on the table.
Where is the Iron Knuckle from in that game, in Ocarina of Time? I can't remember. Was he one of the, the sand dungeon guards?
Is Iron Knuckles appear in the Spirit Temple and Ganon's Castle in Ocarina?
Yeah, Spirit Temple. That was the sand one. Spirit Temple. Okay.
Yes.
God, that game is so good.
The Gerudo Warriors. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So we didn't do. I don't think anybody did Tektite. Tektite?
No.
Well, how would you say that? Tektite.
Tektite.
Tektite. Okay. So the jumpy spiders. So for those who aren't familiar with these spiders have like kind of a blue body with a single red eye. And then they've got four big arachnid like legs with little toes and lots of spikes. And in the game, they jump so far and they can also float on water. So they hop across water. They're like real nasty bugs. I remember being very annoyed.
And in this version, they're very large. And I don't know why, but like, because once I started to get into the wiki to start and try and figure some more information out, it just kept feeling like everything in Ocarina of Time just felt larger, like the Moblin, the Tektite, and just a scarier version.
Well, I guess because you were also like a kid for, you know, the first part of the game. So everything was so big and scary. Ooh.
So what would we, I mean, is Pounce is my first thought as mm-hmm. like kind of that iconic mm-hmm. move to give to it. To start establishing like its uniqueness.
Yeah. So I'd definitely, start with like a spider, like a giant spider stat block, or maybe even find like a crab stat block and then kind of go from there. Cause I think this thing has armor. It looks like it has like an armored carapace. And then it also has the thing where it can float on water or like walk on water. So I definitely give it some kind of feature that says it can like, you know, like skitter or skim or something. So it can hop across and sit on water.
Mm.
Also, it's got that red eye. So I imagine it has some kind of weird vision too.
Yeah.
It's got like night vision. So maybe I would give it like super dark vision.
First off, I love designing things with you. The world knows that. But the idea of starting down the path of vision starts to make me think of creating a larger CR.
Yeah.
Because then you start, there's just an element of this that is a this for that. So then once the players start to have the ability to be invisible, the monster that mixes that up is one that can see invisibility or has tremor sense. And so that's where my head starts to go. Once we start looking at the vision aspect, then cranking that CR up a little bit more, which is even scarier because I can see you, I can pounce on you. How scared are you now?
Yeah. Also, I can sit on the water, so you're never safe. You're never safe. Oof. Yeah, I think with the eye, it'd be cool to give it like a heat seeking sort of vision. So maybe it doesn't see invisibility necessarily, but it can detect heat signatures. So any living thing, you know, it's aware of any this. It's kind of like the mind sensibility that some of the higher CR mind flayers have. It's like they can detect the presence of like any sentient mind within 300 feet. So I'd probably reskin that to be like, you know, this thing can detect anything within 60 feet, not behind total cover. It can see, you know, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, it's so good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you were saying, Pounce. I also, its claws look kind of like daggers, so I would want to give it like dagger nails. Like, you know, if it jumps on you and then, heck yeah.
Piercing damage. And I don't think I would go I don't think I'd go the poison route. I think that's where I'm starting to think like we'd verge on too much.
Yeah.
Adding in the poison as well, because you're already kind of factoring in the jumping and being able to see everything. And I think that's enough. So like definitely piercing damage but then not going poison. That is a line we won't.
We will not cross.
They're already terrified. They're already terrified. They don't also need to be poisoned.
Yes.
Okay. So my other thought is the iron knuckle.
Yes.
Because I remembered something. When I had to look it up, what I had forgotten is that it is somewhat of a pseudo boss battle. And I would frame it that way if I was going to add this in, because as you battle it, I forgot you take things away from it to make it easier to defeat.
Oh, yeah. The armor pieces.
So you actually pull it. Yeah. You pull the armor pieces off and have those kind of fall off. And so then my thought would be to scale it throughout the fight would be that it's easier to hit, but it does more damage.
Mm, yeah.
Like trying to figure out what that sliding scale looks like, that over time the AC drops, but it is also doing more damage as that happens.
Yeah, or it can move faster. Yeah, so I like the idea of building in kind of a fun system into this where it's like, okay, it starts off, you know, and this thing has like AC 20 and it's super hard to hit, but yeah, as you deal damage to it, so pieces of the armor pops off and its AC goes lower. So maybe if it starts with, you know, AC 10 and 50 hit points, as soon as you deal 10 hit points, its AC is reduced to 15. And then like you keep, you know, going through the fight like that, I think would be extremely cool. Yeah, yeah. And it's like for every 5 AC it loses, it gains 5 feet of movement or something like that. Having a scaling battle that changes over time is just so exciting.
Yeah, and especially if you add in, like, so let's say we have multi-attack. Oh, man, that round where I'm thinking, like, through play, and that's the best way to design is put yourself in the scenario, especially thinking about your own players. Mm-hmm. That round of play where I've realized mathematically, like, the speed has gotten high enough that I smash this one character and immediately run to the next one and hit them. And it's just like, wait, what? Cause oh, I also think that having that speed initially be very low, be like maybe 5 to 10 feet of movement.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, it's okay, I'll just stand 5 feet back here and like, no worries, you know, especially if you're using a map and then your players are gonna like min-max the thought and be like, okay, well, I can just stand 5 feet back here and then I'll run in out. No worries, rogue. and then all of a sudden,
zoom. And they are sad, but challenged. Sad, but challenged.
And unconscious. Cool.
And then unconscious. Okay. But with that, I say we have done it.
We've done it.
Which means, of course, if you want to pay some gym dues, go out, tell somebody else about the podcast. That is by far and away the best way to get the word out on us and all that we're doing here. And of course, if you want to do that digitally, you can review us with your thumbs on your podcatcher of choice.
And your hearts, and your thumbs.
Yes.
Also, if you want to tell us about how you've incorporated video game monsters into your own home games, you can always reach out via email to dmnastics@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Twitter @dmnastics, me personally @cconowich, Neil @jokemoniac. And for everything else on the network, check out blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
And of course, a huge thank you to the Bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music, and you can find more about them at bombardedcast.com. But rather than let these mental gains go to waste, let's head to taking your supplements. Taking your supplements! So today on Taking Your Supplements, this is more of like a supplement regimen, because this is not a small supplement.
This is a very large... Large.
This is defend yourself kind of book if you have it in hand, which I don't think anyone has a physical copy in hand.
Not yet.
The PDF is out. Mm-hmm. And it is none other than Kingdoms and Warfare from MCDM, which is just killing it. Doing a fantastic job. But I feel like out of the two of us, Celeste, you may be more familiar with this book for what reason?
Oh, yes. I was one of the designers for Kingdoms and Warfare. So Kingdoms and Warfare is a really, really innovative book, like Neil said, from MCDM Productions. And basically, this this book is over 300 pages long. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. There are new monsters that use a very cool action-oriented system, which kind of changes legendary actions to round-based turns for like really awesome bosses. There are a ton of new magic items. There is a huge adventure from Teos Abadia. And then there is also this entire new rule system for bringing large-scale combat into your D&D games. So I'm talking about if your heroes, you know, run an organization, they can actually have armies, accumulate wealth, resources, launch intrigue against rival nations, stage entire, like, army-to-army combats. This book gives you everything you need to introduce large-scale warfare into your D&D games.
Which is certainly, like, one of the biggest draws, because that's not been officially done.
Done, ever.
Or at least not... Yeah, I mean... You're right. Like I've personally tried to bring forward some of the things that are that have come from past editions, but like even those are just like oddly not effective. And so it's like, here's the official rules, and you're like, great, but wait, these don't work that well either. And there was even the whole supplement of like Heroes of Battle, but then even that didn't bring it forward. So it's nice to see, and there's just a level of trust that I put in Matt Colville, James Intricasso, you, like, so I know that it's going to be something, and let's also say it's not for every table, but if this is what you were looking for, it's here now.
And I mean, they've been very open too. It's like, even if you're not going to, you know, use the warfare rules, the amount of other stuff in this book that is like so good is wild.
Which is certainly a fifth edition design choice, certainly for the ability to sell more books, because it's like making that DMG 2 and the DMG 3 definitely worked at the time. But finding aspects of a book that will then work for everyone is just it from a business perspective. It's much smarter. And like there's no shame in my game. I want it all. So
yeah,
give me monsters, give me classes, give me everything, because I'm guaranteed I'll find something in that book. And if you don't find something in this book, it's because you don't want to. And that's
what it's because you don't.
But that's the only way.
It's over 300 pages. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, I mean,
I don't want to find anything here.
So you can head over to the MCDM Productions website and you can find the PDF of this book. It is currently selling for $25, I believe, for this chunky, chunky PDF full of just absolutely gorgeous art, too. And I mean, the design team on this, the art team, the layout, like every single person just absolutely knocked it out of the park. And honestly, I can't say enough good things about working for MCDM. They're one of the most professional, kind, and caring, well-paying companies out there. So they're really worth your time and your dollars.
Yeah, it is certainly an interesting thing to think, buy the book just so that they continue to be successful, because they are one of the places that it's hopefully will help continue to elevate the TTRPG community for players and people that find this as their profession, both. So go support them. And check, we like them. We know
Kingdoms
them.
Kingdoms and Warfare. Good stuff.
Boom. And there'll be a link in the show note if you want to go get that PDF. And you can tell them DM Nastic sent you. You don't have to, certainly, but that'd be really funny. I don't know that they'd be like, what the heck?
What the heck? Thanks.
Yep. So with that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym. But before we go, I want to implore you, the listener, to join us on the forums, Discord, Twitter, and anywhere else you can find us in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
To do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?